Well, this month, we have been turning our attention to some of the prayers that are presented right here in God's Word, right here in the Bible. Did you know that there are timeless prayers that have been prayed and that are right here in God's Word? And these prayers aren't prayers that we should just read and go, wow, that was a great prayer, remember when. These are prayers that we have the privilege, and I believe even the responsibility, to grab hold of and pray over our lives, over our families, and over the church right here and right now. These are powerful, Holy Spirit-inspired prayers that can change and transform. The Apostle Paul, the man who was led by the Holy Spirit to write half of the New Testament, he prayed many of the prayers that we find in the New Testament because he understood that the church is the light of the world. The church is. He prayed so many of these prayers for the church, over the church, because he understood that the church is who is going to bring the kingdom of God. The church is who is going to bring transformation. The church is who is going to bring the lost out of darkness into the light and salvation of Christ Jesus. It's the church that's going to do it. So he prayed passionately for the church because he wants a church that's filled with all that God has and with all that God is. And that's what we want here as leaders at Evident Life Church. We want to be a church that's filled with God. And that's filled with all that God has for us and all that He is. And we want to walk in the fullness that God has. And so what we've been doing this month is turning our attention to these apostolic prayers. And we want to pray like Paul. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. We're actually going to start in verse 16. Ephesians 3, beginning of verse 16. The Apostle Paul prays this over the church. He says, I pray that out of His glorious riches, he's talking about the Heavenly Father, out of the Heavenly Father's glorious riches, that He may strengthen you, he's talking to us, the church, He may strengthen you, the church, with power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And Paul continues, he says, and I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints. I want to stop here for a moment. That you may have power. This may impact you all together, all the saints. This prayer and living in the fullness that God has for believers isn't just reserved for a few special Christians. Some kind of special class of Christian. This is for the whole church. This is for everyone in the church. And another thing that we see Paul praying, he's talking about this in a corporate perspective, together with all the saints. I know we hit this a lot because we see it throughout God's Word, that when the people of God are gathered together in unity, we talked about this a few weeks ago again, when the people of God come together in unity, there is increased power that is released from God. There just is. Read it. Read the book of Acts. Almost every single miracle and big move of God happened when the people of God were gathered together. Usually in the place of prayer, mind you. Usually in the place of prayer. Oh, I want to see more God. I want to see more God. Let's gather together. Let's pray. Let's seek Him. Let's let Him move. And we will. And we have seen more of God. You know the precept that we find in God's Word where one can put 1,000 to flight, but two exponentially can put 10,000 to flight? There is increased power. There is increased influence that truly happens when the people of God come together and are united. Look what happened at the Planned Parenthood protest. It shut it down for the day because of the increased number and gathering of the people of God. It's pretty cool. It's pretty cool. So let's go back. Okay. Let's go back. And I pray that you, that was me going back. Rewind. I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints. For what? To grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge. That you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. not a him, who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that's at work within us. Now, that's pretty awesome. His power at work within us. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. And Paul says amen, and we say amen. Amen. Last week in Ephesians 1, we encountered Paul praying for the church to go to the next level. Go to the next level, church. And that next level is a church that's walking in the power of God. Remember, the Lord gave us that picture of being a power distribution center. There's that picture that we pulled down. That power distribution center where we're receiving the power of God and then releasing the power of God. We're not a power storage tank where we just keep receiving, receiving, receiving. We're a power distribution center where we receive the power of God and then we release it to others. And this week we're going to again encounter Paul praying for the church to be filled with the power of God. And again, isn't it incredible that the church is filled with the power of God? That he would actually entrust us with his power. That he would pour his power out into us, into our lives, to entrust us with his power. That's amazing. Do we understand that, though? Do we understand that this is how God operates? Releasing his power in the church so the church can release his power into the world so that the kingdom of God can come and the lost can be saved. Beautiful. We are designed to carry and distribute the very power of God. Wow. So it says in verse 16, I pray that out of God's glorious riches that he may strengthen you, the church, with power through his Spirit in your inner being. We're designed to be that power distribution center, receiving his grace. And this is something that I think many of us need to hear right now. You are designed to receive from God. To receive his grace. To receive his love. You are designed, and we're designed as a church, to receive forgiveness. Receive it. In Christ Jesus, you're forgiven. We're designed to receive freedom. Who the Son sets free is free indeed. We're designed to receive that power of freedom from Christ Jesus. The church is designed, we're created to receive that. And we're created and designed to receive his power. But then we're also created and designed to give it all out. To give out his grace. To give out his love. To give out forgiveness. To give out freedom. To give out the power of God to others. Wow. That's exciting. This is the kind of life that we get to live. It's not boring. I'm telling you what, the Christian life is not boring. You've heard people come up here even this morning testifying about how exciting the Christian life is. I mean, you get to slide 150 feet after getting hit by a car and not have a broken bone in your body. That's pretty exciting. I want to tell you something. God is moving in miraculous ways in Scott's life right now. He has a plan for Scott. How many of you do you know that? He loves him and he has a plan for his life. So I saw Scott last Sunday in the hospital. And he had these very thick, massive scar tissue and stuff all over his nose that was forming and stuff forming on his cheek. And he walks in this morning and it's like it was never there. I mean, it's a miracle. It's like it was never there. Whew. That's exciting. So we're designed to receive from God and then to give what we have received. How do we give? By being his witnesses. By bringing his kingdom. I want to go back and preach some other messages right now about that kingdom. Bringing his kingdom message, man. The Lord is blowing my mind still on that. That we are designed to go out there and rip the gates of hell off their hinges and go rescue the lost and the dying that are on the other side. We're designed for that because we've received that power. We've received that strength from God. We've received that vision and understanding and blessing and favor from God to go do that. Those are our marching orders. Woo! Let's go do it. And we're doing it. We're doing it. Oh, it's cool. I got so many things I want to share with you. It will come out over the next few weeks. Woo! It's really good. It's really good. I mean, Don and I can't barely stand getting together anymore. We're just like, woo! Yeah, woo! Yeah. I mean, it's just like, wow! Anyway, this ministry of God's love, though, it only happens, it's only successful when the church is rooted in the love of God. It's when we're rooted in God's love that this happens. And so Paul continues the end of verse 17. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. At Evident Life Church, we have a mission that God has given us. And that mission is to help people encounter God's presence, to help people belong to His family, and to help people grow in His love. Growing in the love of God. Why is love so important? Why is love so important? Why didn't we say, and grow in the knowledge of God, and grow in the obedience of God? Those things are important. Those things happen. Those things will occur in the life of somebody who is growing in the love of God. It's natural. Knowledge and intimacy and power and obedience, those things flow out of that place of true, true love. So we want to grow in God's love, man. We want to get to the root of what God has for us and let everything grow out of that. And love is so important and it's so powerful. Why? Because God is love. God is love. The greatest of these is what? Love. And God is love. Therefore, when love is released, it's truly God that is being released when the people of God release His love. Love actually brings the presence of God. When we love others as believers out of that place of God's love for us, we are actually bringing the presence of God into their lives. They're encountering God through the love of His church. Love releases the power of God because God is love. The Apostle John reminds us of this. It's in 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. 1 John 4, 7 and 8. Anybody else sing that song? Beloved, it says, dear friends, let us love one another. Why? Because love is from God. Love is from God, and everyone who loves is truly born of God. But if you don't love, then you don't know God, because God is love. God is love. Love. So love is how we demonstrate that we know God. It's how we demonstrate, it's that evidence that God has saved us, has changed us. It's our love that starts flowing out of us because we've received it. And now we're releasing it into other people's lives. It's that evidence that we know Jesus. And it is this love that draws others to Jesus. Jeff, I might continue to use testimonies from your life even when you're gone, but you're here, your last Sunday before Aloha, Hawaii. And what happened in Jeff's life just a few weeks ago is an example that love draws people to Jesus. Let me just remind us what happened. Jeff's out there doing a photo shoot. He's a Google photographer and does this stuff. And so he's doing a photo shoot, and at the end he's just shooting the sunset. And all of a sudden this man walks up to him who looks broken and hurt. Jeff starts talking with him, starts ministering to him. The man's response is, I don't want God. I don't believe in God. I'm an atheist. When I have kids, I'm going to name them names that are going to dishonor God. I want nothing to do with God. That was the man's response to Jeff. But Jeff didn't react defensively or hurt or offended in any way. Instead, Jeff pulled out the love of God and said, well, it looks like you could use some help. Here's $20. It's what I have. Let me give it to you. said, I've got a cell phone. Do you need to make any calls? And I've got a car. Can I take you anyplace? How can I help you? And what happened when that love met that darkness? The man began to weep. He encountered the presence of God, and this man that was cursing God just a few moments earlier was now weeping because he just encountered the very presence of God. And at the end of this encounter that Jeff had with this man, he accepted Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. Everything changed. Love changes things. Love is powerful. We talk about releasing the power of God. Love is the power of God. It is the root of all of God's power. And we must be rooted and grounded and established in that love. And when we do, look out, world. Look out, world, because freedom is coming. Jesus is coming. Woo! Do we want to see lives changed? Love. Do we want to see God show up? Love. Do we want to see people saved? Love. 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 Just as a side note, it's nice because we don't have to manufacture this love. This love is something that's already been given to us by God. So it's not something we're creating or having to work up in us. We just receive it from Him and then give it. You see, this is how we release God's power. We give love, but we can only give what we have received. God has called us to be who we are. You've been hearing this. It's the word the Lord gave to me, and it's been changing my life. God has called us to be who we are, to say what we know, and to give what we have. It's that simple. Be who you are. You're a child of God, redeemed. Say what you know. What do you know? I know Jesus Christ is the hope, and I know He's the answer. Give what you have. The love of God. Give what you have. And we're called to give God's love out generously to all. But again, we can only give what we have. To minister love, we've got to have received love. And not only do we have it to give it, but we also have to know that we have it. We have to know that we have God's love. And so Paul prays that the church would come alive in God's love, to wake up to the immensity of God's love, that God loves us, God loves us, God loves us. Paul's like, church, you got to really grasp that, understand it. So he continues here. He says, church, we need to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And we need to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all fullness of God. We, the church, the children of God, we've got to grasp this love. We've got to understand it. We've got to know it. We've got to get it, that we are truly loved by God. You are truly loved by God. But I did this. Yeah, you're loved. Love is bigger than that. Yeah, but you don't know. Yeah, God does, and He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. Grasp it. Receive it. The devil, as I sang, actually we sang this song in some of the lyrics in high school, we sang this song. The devil's a liar and a conjurer too. If you don't watch out, he'll conjure you. Public school back in the day. By the way, did you see my Facebook post that I put out there? Phil Klein showed me this sticker that they're putting on the biology textbooks in the Gilbert Public Schools now. Oh my goodness, it's awesome. Actually, go out to my Facebook page and check that out. Anyway, just keep praying for God to once again invade our education system. Pray for that. It's not too big. God is bigger. It can happen. He can turn it around. Keep praying for it. But anyway, the devil's crafty. And his whole purpose is to rob, kill, and destroy. That's what the devil wants to do to everybody's life. Rob, kill, and destroy. And Satan uses lies to rob many believers from the truth, from that reality that they are loved by God. Why? Because our enemy knows that if we grasp God's love, if we actually receive the fullness of God's love, then we're going to give it to others and he's going to lose and people are going to be set free and people are going to walk in peace and joy and they're going to know God, and the devil doesn't want that. So he lies to believers and he keeps us thinking, well, I'm not really loved. Satan wants us to feel unlovely. He wants us, believers, children of God, who are dearly loved by God. He wants us to feel unlovable. He wants us to feel unloved. Why? Because it will lead the church to despair. It will lead the church to hopelessness, to depression, to insecurity, and it will ultimately lead the church to ineffectiveness. And I believe that that's one of the issues we've been having. As a global church, as an evangelical church, there's a lot of ineffectiveness there that we got to take that back. We got to change some things, and it starts being rooted and grounded in the love of Jesus Christ, knowing who we are. We sang that song last week and this week. I am all He says I am. I am all God says I am. I will take my identity only from Him. Not from all the junk that the enemy's telling me. Not from my past, but who God says I am right here, right now. I am loved. I am new. I am His. See, someone who grasps that truth, that they're loved, is someone who is truly alive. Alive in Christ. It looks like this. And I have these things up here and on stage. You're wondering, why is the light up there? It's not even on. And you got this fan and it's not doing any good. You're right. These things aren't doing any good right now. Because they're not plugged in, right? They're not plugged in. They don't have any power. There's no power that's feeding these two things. But what happens when it gets plugged in to a power source? The light comes on. And when the light comes on, what happens? It starts to dispel darkness. It becomes a beacon. It helps people find their way. It helps people not trip and get hurt. Because it got plugged into its power source. What happens to a believer's life that gets plugged in to the power of God, that gets plugged in and begins to grasp the love of God? What happens to the life of a believer when that happens? They become the light of the world. And the enemy can't put that out. In fact, it dispels the darkness of the enemy. Now, I hate to do this because I only have one cord here to plug this into, but I will. Pretend this light's still on. Now, this fan, it's just in the way. I could trip over it, right? It's not providing any benefit. It's kind of cool looking because it's stainless steel, kind of retro. But other than that, it's doing nothing. But what happens when it gets plugged in to a power source? That fan turns on. It starts to oscillate. It starts to move. And it's actually what it's doing is it's moving air. It's moving the atmosphere. It's changing the atmosphere, even right now, of the room that it's in. What happens to the life of a believer who gets plugged into the reality and grasps the fact that they are truly loved by God? When they get plugged into that, they become alive in Christ Jesus. And the rooms that they walk into, the atmosphere begins to change. Because they're bringing the very presence of God and distributing it. Amen. They're blowing out the stale air. They're bringing in the new air. The breath of God comes into the room when the people of God are rooted and established, grounded, and plugged in to the love of God. How does that feel in the front row? Feels pretty good, doesn't it? All right. Leave it on. Okay. I'll leave it on. Move it over here. Woo! You see, love releases God. When we release the love of God, we're truly releasing God. We're releasing the peace of God when we release His love. We're releasing joy. We're releasing freedom that only comes through Christ Jesus when we grasp the love and then give the love. And additionally, when we're secure in the truth of God's love for us, then we're not looking elsewhere for love. You know that old song, looking for love in all the wrong places. And too often that happens, even in believers' lives, because they're not firmly rooted and established. They're not grasping that God truly does love them. And so they walk around and they're still seeking out a place to really feel loved. And they're getting themselves in trouble and they're getting hurt. They're getting hurt because that's what the enemy wants. When we grasp and receive God's love, then we become those who naturally give His love and release God's love. So the Apostle Paul is praying that the church would understand that breadth, the length, the depth, and the height of God's love. And so I want to talk about that for a moment here. I want to talk about how big God's love is. And I want us to start to grasp just how much God loves us. Paul talks about the breadth of God's love. In other words, he's saying that God's love is immense. God's love meets all of our needs and all of our cares. His love does. No other love does. Every other love will fall short, but the love of God will meet every need, every care. God's love covers all sin and iniquity. Do you grasp that? Have you grasped that? Is there some sin that you've committed in the past? Something that's just still the devil is using to tear you down and to keep you from the love of God? Forget about it. Sounded like I was from New York. Forget about it. Forget about it. God loves you. His love, the breadth of His love is immense, and it covers even that sin. It's covered. It's paid for. Because God's love is immense. God's love, the breadth of His love, reaches all nations. All nations. There's nothing wider than the love of God. You can't get around it. That's what Paul's saying. We got to understand as a church that nothing can get around the love of God. It's that wide. It's that wide. And then Paul talks about the length of God's love. And in that, we realize that God's love is eternal. It's not here today, gone tomorrow. It's an eternal love, the length of His love. It doesn't expire. God's love doesn't run out. God's love remains. It's boundless, exceeding the length of our sin. God's love exceeds the length of our sin, of our suffering, even when we backslide. Even when we fall back into something, we stub our toe, whatever it might be, God's love exceeds that. It's longer than that. God's love is that big. There's nothing longer than God's love. It's eternal. It keeps going. Paul talks about the depth of God's love, that we got to grasp it, that God's love is incomprehensible. It's so deep. His love stepped down from heaven to commune with us. He stepped down from heaven to be with us, to receive us, to bear with us, and to save us from our low and broken state. The depth of God's love for us. God's love is personified in Christ, who stooped down, left His place of honor at the right hand of the Father, became a man, bore our sins, suffered shame, and gave His life for us, crucified and buried. He went deep, the depth of God's love. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son. That's how deep the love of God is. There's nothing deeper. Whatever you think it is in your life that's deep in your life, that's this offensive thing to God, there's this thing in your life that seems to have such hooks into you that you're just like, I don't think it can ever, ever go away. God's love is deeper than that. God's love can go deeper than that thing that you think is so deep in your life. Let God's love invade that area of your life, because there's freedom for you. There is freedom for you in that. God's love is deeper. Paul talks about the height of God's love, that it's infinite. God's love keeps going. It's infinite. There's nothing higher than the love of God. His love never runs out. His love has been revealed, and His love will continue to be revealed for eternity, for infinity, in future glory. From glory to glory, the love of God. There's nothing higher than the love of God. And when the church begins to meditate on this and begins to find their identity in this love, begins to be rooted and established every single day, rooted and established, walking out of the reality of God's love, look out, because the kingdom of God is going to come through that person and through that church. And so Paul is praying this over the church because he sees that. He sees that's the next level, that church walking in that power, that love of God that will transform the entire world, cause darkness to flee. The power of God is realized and released, and transformation comes. Like Paul, my prayer is that we would be good at grasping and receiving God's love. that we would be good at receiving it. Why? So that we would also be good at releasing it and giving it. That we would truly be that power distribution center. Individually, but as we've talked about, corporately, that's who we would be. A people so filled with the love of God that our community will be completely transformed. I see that here in this church. I see that here in your lives. I'm witnessing it happening right now. And so like Paul, I just want to pray it over us that we would see even a greater and greater release and realization of this love. So I'd ask you to stand up. Let's raise our hands. I want to pray this over us right now. And then we're going to get to respond to this prayer corporately in song. Just even let this be your prayer right now. Lord, I pray that out of your glorious riches, God, that you would strengthen us, God, with power. God, throughout your Spirit, through your Spirit in our inner being, God, deep within us, God, that you would just transform us and that you would infuse us, God, with your power even right now, Lord. So that you would dwell in our hearts, God, through faith. God, that faith would continue to rise up in this church family, Lord. Let your faith rise up, oh God. God, I pray that we would be rooted and established in your love, God. Each one of us individually, but corporately, God, that your love would be our root, God. God, that we would grasp it, that we would know it, God. That we would know, Lord God, the depth of your love, the height of your love, the length, the breadth, God, of your love. That we would be that church that is so alive in your love, God, that we would see our community transformed by your power, by your love. Lord, make us that power distribution center, God. Continue to lead us into that, God. From glory to glory, God, continue to help us receive all that you have for us, to receive your love. To receive your power, to receive your gifts, Holy Spirit. Let us be that church that receives from you, God, so that then we would release it for your glory, God. Release it, God, so that lives would be changed, so that people would encounter your presence, God, so that people would belong to your family, so that people, God, would grow in your love. Thank you for loving us, God. Let's sing this together. Processing this and responding to God's love even right now. If you need to experience more of God's love, don't leave today without it. Because God wants you to have it. He wants you to receive His love. And I just want to call you forth even right now. If you need more of God's love, I just want to invite you to come forward even right now. Just come forward right now. If you need more of God's love, maybe you've never really even felt it. Maybe you felt it in the past. Maybe it just seems like a dry season. Whatever it might be, maybe you're just ready to release more of His love and you want more of His love in your life so that you can release more. I just want to invite you to come forward even right now. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Maybe you need the love of God to heal your body even right now. If your body is broken, it's hurting, and you need the love of God to come and to be powerful in your physical frame, in your body right now. Come forward. Receive the love of God. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. Going to do right now, I want to invite the elders to come forward also. What we're going to do right now is we're going to officially dismiss the service, and we're going to continue to minister to y'all up here and pray over you. God's love is going to hit your life right now. As you go out, fellowship with one another, share the love of God with one another, share the love of God with a stranger today, and watch God show up. Allow His power to be released in your life and through your life. Amen.